Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. We probably have heard that phrase used, and probably not always in a way that you might expect. You might say somebody's life is going off the rails, or we're having a really difficult time with someone, and we'll say they need to come to Jesus talk, or this is a come to Jesus moment for this person because of what's happening in their lives or because of what they're doing. But I want to say that tonight, in this beginning of the season of Lent, is truly and literally a come to Jesus moment for all of us. The ashes just, of course, they touch us in a very deep way. But when we come forward to receive the ashes, tonight we'll hear, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. And the other option that can be used is, remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. So we're eager to come forward to repent and believe in the gospel. We're eager to come forward recognizing that we came from dust, we're going to return to dust, so one day we're going to die. So we're sinners, and we're going to die. Wow, that's truly a come to Jesus moment for all of us. But let's look at repent and believe in the gospel. As we repent, we remember that we are called to turn away from our sinful ways, turn away from our own ways, and turn back to God. We all know that we try to depend upon ourselves, or we wander our own way, and we know we find ourselves in big trouble with hurt, pain, wounds, all sorts of things. And then eventually we finally get wise enough and realize, wow, I can't fix this myself. Or look at this mess I've gotten myself into. I have no one else to turn to but God himself. And we turn back to God. So we repent, we seek forgiveness of our sins. But here's, of course, the good part. We believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. But what is the gospel? The gospel is truly good news. That's another way we can translate gospel, is good news. So while we come up and receive ashes and profess that we are sinners, we also are given those ashes, of course, in the form of a cross, which reminds us that we have a Savior. We are sinners in need of our Savior, but our Savior has come to save us, suffering for us, dying for us, dying for us all the way to the cross, so that we can have the forgiveness of sins, so that we might live and experience the fullness of life here and the fullness of life forever. So this is definitely a reason for us in our daily lives to come to Jesus, because he wants to heal us, restore us, forgive us, and grant us the peace that only he can bring. And also, even as we look at the practice of using ashes, it goes back, it's an ancient practice, and it is something signifying seeking forgiveness and showing repentance. We look back to the Old Testament time, so often people were in sackcloth and ashes because they had broken their covenant, they had broken their relationship with the Lord, and they knew that they needed his healing and they needed his mercy and his forgiveness. And that's what our whole focus is in our relationship with Jesus and his church. He loves us unconditionally. He offers us the gift of salvation. Sometimes we're on the right track. We get off the track. All of us get off the track, at least a little bit. But we're invited to come to Jesus. We're invited to come back. We're invited to experience, yes, his mercy. We're invited to realize that we are not sufficient on our own, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, but in Jesus we find joy, we find healing, forgiveness, and hope. And in our gospel, we're reminded of those three practices that especially we focus on in the Lenten season. First of all, the word Lent, actually the meaning has its origins in springtime. So that's a great reminder for us that while we face our death, our mortality, We are called very necessarily to grow in our lives, to grow in our covenant and our relationship with Jesus and his body, the church. Of course, through prayer, we strengthen that relationship and our union and our bond with God himself. We come to Jesus just as we are. We give ourselves to him. We seek to listen to him. We seek to be guided by him, comforted, strengthened, and consoled. In our fasting, we deny ourselves as Jesus calls us to. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We deny ourselves to remember that we are not slaves to any material thing or anything that can only satisfy us temporarily. And we feel a hunger and a longing for something deeper than just our earthly hunger. We're reminded of Jesus' sacrifice for us, and we're reminded of that deeper hunger and longing that we have for God himself. So our fasting helps us to order our lives and to put our focus back on God. And in our almsgiving, we're reminded that we have been given many gifts from God. And through our fasting, we recognize, too, that there are others who go without through our own lack, and that leads us to our almsgiving, to be able to share the good things that God has shared with us, to be able to share in his generous outpouring and giving, because we know that of his complete and total self-gift for us on the cross, we are called to give an imitation to him. So yes, through it all, we are called to come to Jesus. Just a little challenge and invitation to everyone here tonight. As we speak about prayer, and tonight, this might be a little bit uncomfortable for people, so I'll get that out of the way, but we invite you just to take a moment first to look around in front of you and behind you and just mentally pick at least one person. You don't even have to know their names or know who they are, and we want you to promise that you'll pray for this person every day. Well, we might forget some days, of course, but do your best to pray for them every day, all throughout the Lenten season. We're reminded that we know that prayer is something so very powerful, and we know without God, we're in big trouble, of course. But without one another, of course, we also are in trouble because we lose that link and that bond with Jesus' body, the church. So right now, please look in front of you, behind you, pick one person, mentally take a picture, keep that with you in your mind, in your heart, and do your best to pray for them every day during Lent, because we need to do this together. We need to be praying for one another. Think how powerful that is if we can hold one another in prayer and journey and come to Jesus together and just not on our own. So hopefully everybody has a person, and I've got all of you, so I'm praying for everybody here. Then the second invitation too is perhaps tonight there's a few people here that maybe who aren't with us on a regular basis, or some people who have been away for a while. And our invitation to you is to come home, to come back, to come to Jesus, come to his body, come to his sacrifice beginning this Sunday. Join us for the first Sunday of Lent, the second Sunday of Lent, the third Sunday of Lent, and on and on and on, because without you, there is something missing. First of all, I should have said, we are so glad that you're here, even if you aren't with us on a regular basis, or if you're just returning. We're so happy that you are here, and we love you, and we want you to be a closer part of this family. We want you to know that you matter and that you belong, and there's something missing if you are not with us, because we need you. We need you to be able to experience Jesus' mercy, and we need you to be able to help us so that we too can come to Jesus in our daily lives and be strengthened to remember that he is our center and he is our focus. So as we continue on this Lenten journey, just as we begin today, remember this is a springtime. This is a time for growth. This is a call for us to walk forward together in sacrifice and love and prayer and fasting and almsgiving, knowing that the Lord is with us and that through it all, he will bring us his life, his joy, and his peace.